You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's got to 2-2 and we've still got more than half an hour to go, and here's Ozil, Lacazette, Ozil!
Yo!
Could it went left, but it went right. Could it went wrong, but it went right. Said it was Ian, but it went right.
Man, we've got
bars on bars on site. MVP in the night, 10 negative to positive.
We're heading for a classic in the paper.
Hello and welcome to another Touchy Gooners podcast. My name's Lewis. I'm joined by Sean again today. How you doing, Sean?
Yeah, all good, bro. All good.
I would like to say, you know, it's another stay at the W Hotel, but we just came off at a loss. But
what's one of those, man?
Yeah, it's kind of like a weird feeling, right? Like, what is a loss? It's like one of those philosophical questions. But yeah, I mean, we won't really talk too much about the League Cup game. I think most people will be tuning in to hear our thoughts on the weekend's actions against Chelsea. Me and Coogs did the Patreon pod after the Chelsea game, which was a lot of fun. If you aren't a patron yet and you want to get like those instant match reactions, we do them after every game. They're on our Patreon. It's like £3 a month. So if you want to get that instant fix, especially after these W's, it's the only place to be. Otherwise, you have to wait until Wednesday and after all the fun is gone. But we'll still cover the game today anyway. So, Sean, the Chelsea game, I mean, I've been on the main pod about it. I've been on the Patreon pod about it. I've just like rinsed out talking about it. But I mean, I've said quite a few times, you know, going into this Chelsea game, it was like one of the first Chelsea games I can remember for a long time, where I looked at the two teams, I looked at where both teams are as well, not just like personnel, and I said, we're better than Chelsea. We are 100% better than Chelsea. I'm not scared of that lineup. And, you know, not that I was expecting a win, but it wouldn't surprise me if we did turn them over quite easily. What was your feelings coming into the game?
I feel like, I agree. It was probably for the first time in a long time that we were probably favourites going into the game as well. You know, we've beaten them a few times actually in the last few years, but I wouldn't say we had been favourites in any of those times. And maybe even some of those performances at the time weren't as good, you know, as you would have hoped for, even though we won the games, maybe barring maybe the FA Cup final in lockdown where we beat them as well. So, but yeah, you know, it was the first team. You know, this is, I think we can both sit here and agree that this is the bona fide Arteta first team. Zinchenko, who hadn't played in a month, was straight back in. And I said, can't remember who I said this to as well. I said, I don't think it surprises me that Arteta defers straight back to Zinchenko just because he really enables what Arteta wants to do just to the max. You know, if you remember when we spoke about after the Forest game where we said how, you know, Tomiyasu was standing right next to the party in the second half, whereas that's just Zinchenko's default position in terms of what he does, how he operates. And there's just a level of control that we just operate with when Zinchenko plays, you know, and people can be quick to talk about his flaws defensively, and that's true. Do you know what I mean? But I think the way he defends, he tries to defend on the front foot. He tries to get the tackle in, you know, before someone can turn him and run at him in big spaces. So, and you know, you might get at him once or twice in a game, but that's the trade-off for like having nearly 70% possession and pinning teams back for most of the time, innit? Do you know what I mean? So I'm happy with that trade-off. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, I don't know if I was confident, but, you know, I thought we had a very good chance to win, and, you know, the way we played bore it out as well.
Yeah, no, I completely hear your point about Zinchenko, and I think, yeah, I mean, you don't think it's just a case of styles with Zinchenko? Like, you know, maybe if we were playing, I don't know, do you think he would have started Zinchenko if we were playing Spurs away or Man City away? You don't think it's this specific game that maybe Zinchenko's got?
If you look at all the big games,
or Liverpool, played, say for example,
all the big games we played this season. So if you remember, Zinchenko missed Brentford away because he was injured. Then he came back after the international break. First game was North London derby. He was in. Mm-hmm. Then he got injured again in training, and so he missed the Liverpool game next week. And then he didn't play for a whole month. Straight back in against Chelsea. So, you know, we're talking about maybe him being a liability in big games, but at the same time, in the big games that we've won, you know, if you think the Spurs and the Chelsea one, obviously he didn't play against Liverpool, and that might be the contentious one. You think maybe he might not have started, but I think Arteta defers to him because the way we want to be, the style we want to push out, you know, and we've shown we don't need Zinchenko to win. We've won loads of games without him this season. However, there's a measure and there's a level of control and sustained pressure we have when he plays where teams literally can't get out. I barely noticed Sterling in that game. Do you know what I mean? So, and you know, on paper, you'd be like Sterling versus Zinchenko is a mismatch. Do you know what I mean? But the way the game transpired, I think, you know, the fluid rotations that we have on that left-hand side with him, Xhaka, Martinelli, when Zinchenko plays, maybe isn't always replicated when there's another option there.
Yeah, no, I hear you. It wasn't like, I don't think it was like a standout game from Zinchenko, but the difference is quite clear with when he is playing.
Yeah, like he himself wasn't like he was amazing, you know.
No.
But
I do think maybe it's a little overstated at the moment. I mean, I could be wrong, but, you know, there was a lot of fear about how bad this guy is defensively. And I haven't actually seen this terrible defender that people... I know it's a small sample size, but...
I feel like it's definitely overblown as well. Like, and if you look like throughout the big sides, you've got Trent, you've got even Cancelo, who gave away a penalty against Fulham as well. I think, you know, a lot of these guys, they aren't in the team because of their defensive quality. They're in the team because of how they, you know, exacerbate the team's offensive potential as well. So, you know, it's just a trade-off that you're looking to have at times. So, but yeah, I agree with you. I don't even think like, oh my God, like he's been a liability. Teams are going to cop. It's just, and it might happen further down the line, but so to speak, yeah, I've not seen anything that suggests, oh my God, we can't play this guy. And for me, it's, oh my God, I need to play this guy because of look how much more dominant we are as a team when he plays, you know?
Yeah.
And that, like I said, we've won loads of games without him, but the level of control we had on Sunday, I thought was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, and something that can't be up for debate is just how good our other three defenders are. I mean, there is a bit of a debate about Gabriel, about whether he's top five. We had a debate on the main pod about whether he's top five in the league. I personally think both him and Saliba right now are playing at a level where, you know, I don't think it can be contested that they're within the top, you know, five centre-backs in the Premier League. I don't really see who's better. We saw, I thought Thiago Silva was good in this game. People would say Thiago Silva, but he looks old. You know, he doesn't look, you know, he looks another year older. Thiago Silva last year looked great, but he looks another year older this year. I mean, people would say Lisandro Martinez. If Lisandro Martinez is in the top five discussion, Gabriel and Saliba have to be in the top five discussion, though. So, but yeah, I mean, it was just another imperious display by, you know, Gabriel, Saliba, White, all just fantastic players. And this looks like one of the, you know, with those three and then with one of either Tomiyasu, Tierney or Zinchenko coming in. I mean, this defence looks like one of our best defences. Maybe, I mean, I don't want to go overboard. Let's not go overboard.
You might as...
I was going to say something wild, but let me not. But I mean, points have been made that, you know, these defenders could probably walk into any of our great teams. You know, I mean, You look at White. I mean, we had Lauren playing for the Invincibles. I mean, listen, Lauren's a great player, but, you know, is White any worse than Lauren? You know, I think White is just as good as Lauren. You know, Saliba, I mean, he's going to be one of the best centre-backs in the world. You know, I mean, Kolo Touré, obviously Sol Campbell. You know, I think these guys are on a par with these guys, if I'm being honest, man. What do you think? Am I overcooking it a little bit?
No. Do you know what it is? Like, people always don't like having these discussions when we haven't achieved anything. Do you know what I mean? So, but I mean, I don't necessarily disagree. I think individually, they're fantastic. Collectively, they're fantastic. It has to be said, obviously, the system that we have, you know, mitigates any potential flaws. But obviously, we play a very high line. And, you know, we have these guys who can defend big amounts of spaces. You know, we just spoke about Zinchenko. If Zinchenko is flawed defensively, you know, those three can bail him out anyway. Do you know what I mean? So because we have that balance. So, no, I think it's, for me, definitely, even if we don't want to talk Invincibles, I think it's the best defence we've had of the Emirates era. And I think quite comfortably, you know.
Better than the Koscielny, Mertesacker.
Yeah, I'd rather have Gabriel Saliba. I'm not lying to you. I'd rather have that, you know. And I loved Koscielny, by the way. I thought he was great. But there's just an element of just... Yeah, I just feel good, like, just watching this. We've conceded 11 goals so far. And, you know, if you look at the goals we've conceded, most of them have been down to individual errors rather than, you know, it being a collective flaw of the system, you know. Yeah. So I'm more than happy with what I'm seeing with those guys so far, man.
I think I'd like to see Koscielny and Saliba together in the same team, man. Peak Koscielny and Saliba. I think we could have done bits with that defense. But yeah, it was another quality game from that defense. You know, so I think Saliba's just going from strength to strength, and, you know, Gabriel pops up with the goal as well. You know, I mean, great defending and manages to get a goal from a set piece, and which was a bit of a scrappy goal, but, you know, he's got a bit of a knack of, a bit like Koscielny in that regard as well. Like, he's got a bit of a knack of scoring from set pieces, and
Gabriel always scores. He got 5 goals from set pieces last season.
Yeah, he's already got, like, two.
He's got two this season. Saliba's got two himself. So you know, it's another string to your bow. You know, we talk about Nicolas Jovar. You know, the impact he's had on us from set pieces. Whereas, you know, think how many years we used to talk about we were never affected from set pieces, and we always used to concede from set pieces. Whereas now, like, we've got to be, along with West Ham, we're probably like the most potent team in the league from set pieces, I'd say. Do you know what I mean? You always just think something's going to happen.
Yeah.
And that's great. So.
Yeah. No, definitely. I think going into the game, you know, when you think of Chelsea, you think of, like, very solid defence and an abundance of riches in midfield options, right? So I was a bit relieved to not see Kovacic start. Because I think Kovacic is probably their best midfielder, even though, you know, Chelsea fans will, you know, swear blind that it's Jorginho, Ballon d'Or, Ruben Loftus-Cheek, you know, wonder kid, best thing since sliced bread. But I think that midfield really got put to shame by our midfield, I believe. Like, Thomas Partey was on a different level, you know. He absolutely bossed that game. And then that's all three games this season, like the big games, where Thomas Partey's come up in trumps against teams that, you know, like Spurs, Liverpool, you know, now Chelsea. He's gone to the bridge to do it against Chelsea. Just about Partey in specifically, are we seeing a player who is now fully adapted to the Premier League, fully adapted to what Mikel Arteta wants, and he is in his pomp at the moment?
Yeah, I think, you know, the talent was never in question. It was more about, you know, first and foremost for him staying fit, and then, you know, the consistency, because what you tended to happen prior to this season was Partey would have like maybe 5 good games, then you'd go off the boil a bit and then he'd get injured. So yeah, I think, you know, it's probably a case of he's adapted to the six well now. You know, the consistency with him and Xhaka as a partnership, we've got the stats of when they play together. I think we're managing him well. You know, it's good that we barely used him in Europa. He wasn't used against Brighton again in the cup. So it's just a case of, you know how maybe he's a bit fragile from a fitness standpoint. So we need to look after him. And I think we've managed that well this season. Obviously, he's going to go to the World Cup with Ghana. Obviously, I'm an op, so hopefully they get knocked out ASAP so he comes back. But yeah, I just think for me, yeah, he's far and away our most important player. You know, I think he's, you know, you can argue whether he's the best player in the team. I think there's an argument for that as well. But in terms of importance to what we do, in terms of layering up, in terms of quality,
when and he's in terms of and, drop off as well,
yeah, like the, when, yeah, drop off yeah. when he's unavailable,
yeah,
it's no debate. So yeah, he's been nothing short of sensational this season, and long may it continue.
100%, man, 100%, and you know, he's just a joy to watch sometimes. You know, like just the way he's able to take the ball under pressure, some of the passes. I love the way that he's just able just to. I mean, it's something that I really enjoyed playing, doing it on a football pitch myself as well. It's just like punching it through, you know, and get adding intensity to attacks. It could be something so simple as a ball out wide, but he will move it so quickly out wide that it just gives whoever receives the ball like an extra second to face their man up, get into a better position. You know, it makes all the difference. Whereas you see some centre midfielders, oh, just like put a bit of curl on it to get out there, maybe just a second there, and it slows down the move. And it is, I find it really frustrating sometimes that, you know, players who don't punch the ball through the lines, don't punch the ball to where the ball is to be received. And he's just got an amazing array of passes, like the variety that he's able to execute as well. Always makes the right decision with the pass that he's doing. And man, Loftus-Cheek and Ballon d'Or, Jorginho, just couldn't get close to him, man. Couldn't get close to him. I thought Xhaka was really good on the day as well. He's just going about his business, man. Him and Partey have just, it's another win for both of them whilst they're on the pitch. I mean, God knows what their win percentage is now. It must be close to bloody, you know,
it's in the 70s. It's in the 70s, I'm sure. Like high, yeah, mid, like maybe, yeah. Maybe,
it's a ridiculous percentage. It's an absolute ridiculous percentage for. I think it's higher. Isn't Partey's win percentage alone like 75%? But him and Xhaka together is like 80s.
Oh, for real? Oh,
yeah. It's a ridiculous, ridiculous percentage, and it's just another victory for those two, who start together and. Yeah, they've just got such a great understanding of their roles in the team, man. And I that can only be put down to coaching, really and truly. Like, how much credit does Arteta deserve for, you know, the way this Arsenal team is put together at the moment?
I mean, yeah, I mean, he the way we're set up, the way we're tactically organised, distance is compact on and off the ball, the way we press... It's great, you know, fantastically great to watch, great to see. You know, we're talking 13 league games played, 11 wins, one draw, one defeat. And even those, you know, those games that the game we drew and the game we lost, we could have easily won both of them as well. So, yeah, I think it's been fantastic. Xhaka Partey is the basis and the axis on which the team is built. You know, Partey isn't left in, you know, acres of space because both of the fullbacks invert. Xhaka obviously pushes up into the five lanes of attack. Partey can go and hunt for the ball when he feels necessary because he's got Seb, Saliba and Gabriel behind him who can clean them up. So the way the iteration and it's put together, the nice mix of blend of PMP with tech is it's great, man. It's great. And I just hope we can layer up on it transfer-wise in Jan in the summer as well, just to mitigate, you know, against injuries and suspensions, which will inevitably happen at some point too.
Let me ask you two questions, Sean. As midfield partnerships go, where is this ranking in the Premier League at the moment in terms of like, I know not everyone plays a two, but...
Yeah, not everyone plays a two, but it's minimum top three. It has to be. It has to be. Generally, what's better?
Man City.
City. Liverpool hasn't been there this season. No. United, no. Chelsea, no.
Yeah.
Spurs, no. So, number two.
Yeah,
you know, and you could argue based on form this season, it's number one. But yeah, it's the top two.
And Thomas Partey as an individual,
he's top.
Who's better?
He's one. Who's been better this season, and generally, who's better? Maybe Rodri, and that's it. Again,
crazy.
Literally it. So, Yeah, yeah.
The ops won't hear it, though.
The ops won't hear it. The ops won't like it. And, you know, I get why people are sometimes down about Arsenal because, you know, we have to prove it. So, you know, we will talk about, you know, calendar year, up to date. So it's just up to us to prove it. Because once we've done something, once we've achieved something, there's no argument against it. Do you know what I mean? So, so as much as that, for example, I didn't like some of the Jorginho shots, but I guess, you know, when he won the Champions League, then he won the Euros, he had done it. Do you know what I mean? So I guess the case for us is just to do it. Once you've done it, no one can talk. So I believe we've got it, and it's just a case of now backing it up continuously with results.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Yeah, it was it's an interesting game for our forward line because, you know, I think the rest of the team was excellent, but our forward line was maybe, I don't want to say wasteful, but no, maybe wasteful is the right word. I don't think we created like an abundance of amazing chances where we had poor finishing. I just think when it came to the final third, we were just missing a little bit of cutting edge. You know, when I think back to the chances we had, you know, maybe we could have done a little bit better on some of them. But, you know, I don't want to... I thought Gabriel Jesus, we can talk a little bit about him now, is, you know, there's a lot of shit talking going on, you know, mainly because, I mean, listen, we're so good at the moment, you have to try and bring us down with something, right? And now, you know, the topic is Gabby and his lack of goals and, you know, X amount of games without a goal, which, listen, I'm not here saying that it's not a problem. And people are making comparisons with the whole Firmino thing, which is fine. But I think there's a stark difference between the Firmino situation and the Gabby situation is that Liverpool fans were in complete denial about Firmino, right? Liverpool fans would make all sorts of excuses. He doesn't need to score more. He can't score more because Mane and Salah are taking all the goals. Firmino is the system. He doesn't need to score goals. It's not his job. We're not saying that at all. Well, I'm not saying that at all. Jesus is a fantastic player, right? But he should be scoring more and he can be scoring more. He will score more. I'm pretty certain of that because I don't feel like a player who gets as many chances as he does, you know, is going to, you know, isn't going to score goals. I just think something's going to click for him. He's going to be a bit streaky. But yeah, what's your thoughts on Gabby? Is it getting you down a bit?
So, yeah, let me just make this perfectly clear first and foremost. I am so pro Gabriel Jesus. Like, literally, you know, we talk about everything good we've done this season. He has been the most transformational aspect of that, the way he's involved Martinelli and Saka. We are not first, in my opinion, without Gabriel Jesus. Generally, I don't think we're first without him. We could have bought a different striker. I don't know. Maybe they might have scored a couple more, but I don't know if the overall impact they've had on the team is as good as what Gabriel Jesus has done. So yeah, let's just get that out of the way. I think he is fantastic. He's been transformational. And at the age of 25, I actually still think there's another level for him to go. So on to the point of his goal scoring. Yeah, absolutely. We are not going to sit here and pretend that goals aren't important. You know, where we were sitting here lambasting Lacazette last season for his paltry return of 4 goals. You know, Jesus has already beaten that this season and he will score a lot more. He will score a lot more. I'm confident of the difference between Lacazette wasn't even getting shots off in games. You know, Lacazette was averaging like 2-3 shots per month. You know, Jesus can get like 3-5 shots per game. So I'm not worried about that. You know, the biggest issue with Jesus is composure. Now you could look at it a couple different ways. You know, he does so much work off the ball. You know, like he will drop deep, try and take on 3-4 man. By the time he gets, I think he's knackered, you know. Like I just do. I think he does so much work off the ball that by the time he gets to composing himself in the box, he's either off balance or he's just not set or he's just tired. Do you know what I mean? So I don't know how they're going to have to work it, but he's going to have to, maybe find a happy medium between, you know, maybe dropping so deep. He doesn't need to do it all the time. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, because when I look back to maybe the first five games of the season when Zinchenko played most of them as well, he didn't drop. I don't recall him dropping as deep as he did. So, yeah, it's maybe one to watch. But overall, I'm confident he's going to score more. I'm confident he will hit a purple patch. Well, I say purple patch soon. We've got one game and then it's the World Cup. But So hopefully post-World Cup, he comes back in decent condition and he will go. But I'm so sure that this guy's going to continue to do well and he will eventually get back on the goal trail. I could not be worried whatsoever. Honestly, like, he's the least of my worries in this Arsenal team. Mm-hmm. I can't lie. Now, obviously, people say, you know, obviously, like we said, it's the striker's job to score. And if we have, you know, certain games where we're only 1-0 up, we need him to be decisive. 100%. Mm-hmm. You're not going to catch me arguing against that. But I find it very hard to be down on someone who, for me, is a good chunk of the reason why we're top of the league. And if we're to stay around that area, he will be massively key going forward. So yeah, and bearing in mind everything he's done for Martinelli and Saka as well, like, yeah, he's literally boosted them to the limelight. So yes, he needs to do more in terms of his finishing, but his overall impact, I find it so hard to quantify. It's been nothing short of amazing.
Yeah, he's such a top quality player, man. And I think when looking at strikers as well, I think this situation could look to be a bit stupid at the end of the season. Like, for example, if Gabby was to, I don't know, score a hat-trick in his next game, all of a sudden, you know, he's 1-2 and his goal-scoring record isn't looking that bad. And that's why I think goal-scoring records as a, you know, as a striker, you should probably look at holistically at the end of the season, because plenty of strikers go on streaks and rough patches where they don't score, or, you know, hot streaks. Look at Heung-min Son. He does that every year where he will go 8 games without scoring and then all of a sudden he scored 8 goals in a row. And, you know, like, nobody's talking about, oh yeah, his goal scoring is not good enough. You know, holistically, they might say that in those moments it's not good enough, but at the end of the day, he still ends up with 15 to 20 goals a season. So how they come is how they come. Like, there aren't too many players who are like Haaland and Harry Kane, who literally just score, you know, in 2/3 of games, or, you know, in Haaland's case, every game. You know, there aren't that many strikers out there that do it. Aubameyang and his pump for us was, you know, I think, what, how many did Aubameyang get for us? 17? You know, is that the most Aubameyang got for us, maybe, in the league? I'm not too sure. I can't, maybe a bit more.
There was a season where he shared the golden boot with Salah, and was it?
What did he get that year?
Yeah, he got like 22.
He get 22?
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, he had hit that.
Fair. But yeah, like, I mean, these are, you know, ridiculous shooters, like some of the best shooters in the world. And, you know, yeah, you're right. He got 22 twice for us in the Prem, didn't he? Yeah. I mean, if Jesus can get anywhere close to that, we're laughing, because we're going to have one of the best Premier Leagues. We're going to have one of the best strikers in the world. So hopefully he can get close to that level. But, you know, equally, if come end of the season he's got 15, 16 goals, I'll be happy with that. You know, I'll be happy with that, because I think he's already got like 6 assists, you know, on top of his 5 goals. So, I mean, he could end up easily in double figures assists, easily, you know. So, yeah, I'm going to judge him at the end of the season of his goal scoring. But, yeah, if we're gonna get close to the believers' ambitions of winning this league, we need Gabby Jesus to score. We can't do it without him not scoring, I don't think. So, yeah. Just moving on then to the rest of the attack. Marcelli and Saka, you know, I don't think it was like two of their best games, but, you know, a not so good game from these two these days is it's still a really good game, right? Like the drop off in level. I mean, you look at what Sterling and Mount and Aubameyang and Havertz were dishing up the other end. I mean, compared to those four, they were bloody brilliant.
Yeah, exactly. So even a quiet game where maybe and I thought Saka had the better of Cucurella mostly as well. You know, some of the you know, it's mad Cucurella didn't get booked. You know, he had the beating of him. He should have got booked. Maybe Martinelli didn't do so well against Aspi, but it's all right. Every now and then you forget that these guys are still like 21. You know, it's going to be up and down at times, but for the most part, they've been very consistent. And we have to remember it's a big game. You know, big games are cagey. They're 1-5 margin. So, while in an ideal world, we would have created some more big, clear-cut chances, it's a big game. Do you know what I mean? It's rare, you know. So it's only either a mistake or one bit of quality that often tends to define these sorts of games. And so that was the case, man. So it is what it is. We got the win, you know. I would have taken a draw before the match started. Mm. We got a win with a clean sheet, and we move on now.
Yeah. We've cool. No, 100%, man. And it's just another win that, you know, propels us to it was another win where, you know, we saw potentially like Man City salvaged a victory in the last minute against Fulham. And it was kind of like the pressure was on a little bit, you know, in terms of like, we need to win this game. And obviously we weren't to know that, you know, Man United were going to lose, Tottenham were going to lose. We weren't to know that because our game was the midday kickoff. But it was just another week where our opponents have dropped points. Man City didn't drop points, but, you know, teams that are maybe competitors for the top four drop points, and we managed to capitalize and, you know, distance ourselves further from the pack. You know, I mean, how many points are we now clear of Spurs? We must be like 13 points, is it?
Eight
points, but we got a game in hand.
We're like 13 clear of Chelsea. We got a big gap in Chelsea. 13
clear of Chelsea. Yeah, 13 clear of Chelsea, 11 clear of United. Yeah. What's this? 15 points clear of Liverpool?
Yeah.
Jeez.
So, I mean, yeah. So we got margin for error. Well, hopefully we won't need it anyway. But yeah, you know, we've given ourselves rope already, like in case of injuries and suspensions. But yeah, we should just continue. We should just continue looking forward rather than obviously what's going on behind us. So
yeah. I mean, at this point, is top four practically a guarantee? I mean, how bad would we have to be to not make
it? Yeah. I mean, I think we did the maths the other day. We can afford to lose like 11 games.
Half the games or whatever.
So, you know.
And even at our worst.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't think
exactly.
We've ever lost like half our games, have we?
I think, well, I mean, we lost 13 games last season, so, and we only missed out on top four by 2 points. So, like I said, we got a lot of rope, but this should be looking forward, hopefully in Jan, add a couple as well, man. Just strengthen us, man. So, yeah.
And can you see Jan being a busy month for us?
I don't know. When you look and, you know, when you saw what happened against Brighton as well, you know, the fact of the matter, we made 10 changes, but the 10 changes were just significantly weaker. And, you know, some of the guys didn't come out with much credit, if we're to be totally honest. If I'm to be fair, based on what happened against Brighton, it's hard to find any fluency when you make 10 changes. That's an awful lot of changes. Guys who aren't used to playing often, who don't, you know, play with these same guys week in, week out. It's fair enough. But, yeah, you know, we've seen that in the Europa and now in the League Cup, you know, relying on these guys for any significant length of time could be problematic. Hmm. So yeah, that there are quite a few guys I wouldn't want to see, you know, in the first team if push comes to shove. So yeah, I hope we can.
Who were the good performers from last night? Because obviously the game absurdly wasn't shown anywhere. So
yeah,
like the game that didn't exist, basically.
Yeah, so... Saliba was good, looked really comfortable, obviously, naturally, as we'd expect. And then for me, it was just Nelson and Eddie that were the main. Nelson especially was, you know, I was really encouraged with how direct and aggressive he was, which was especially if you get a chance to see the highlights, you'll see there was a lot of the way he created Eddie's first goal, where he literally just picked up the ball inside channel.
I saw that,
let's see. And it was a great finish from Eddie as well, by the way.
I actually thought he took it too soon. I was thinking,
he wrapped it really, really nicely, man. So, there was just a lot of poor performances, man. Lokonga and Vieira did not impress at all. Marquinhos, you need to get that guy on loan.
Yeah, Cedric, Vieira's kind of got away with it scot-free at the moment.
Do you know what? I'm not worried because I saw Arteta's quotes as well post-match. He was like, you got to remember this guy, he didn't have any pre-season. He missed like 2 months of it, basically. So, I've seen so much quality from this guy that I'm just not like, you know, when you, his overall performance, don't get me wrong, level of performance has been quite questionable so far, but you know, when you see quality, you know, when you see it, you know, when you dropped him into the team against, like, he's one of those ones that if he played with the first team, I'd be confident he could deliver. Do you know what I mean? So, and you saw against Brentford, remember when he, when he obviously Odegaard didn't play that game. So I'm not worried about him long-term. And I think, funnily enough, I think the World Cup might come at a good time for him. You know, it might allow him to
build some fitness,
you know, build some, you know, upper core body strength. I think they're doing, the team are doing like warm weather training in Dubai as well. So I feel like that might be the sort of thing that's good for him. Because, and hopefully if it does work out, because actually, if you remember when we first signed him, I said, I think it would take him about maybe a good like 6 months to get up to scratch. So I said that, and I feel like if we can get him up to scratch and then get ESR back and up to scratch, I think they could be really big boosts in the second half of the season. Those two. And if you could add a winger to that as well, that would fill you with a lot more confidence, right? In terms of changing stuff offensively further up the pitch. So that's what I'm kind of hoping for with him. But I'm not going to defend it. He wasn't good last night. He wasn't good at all. He was really bad. Both him and Lokonga were really bad. Marquinhos was bad. Cedric and Holding, my God, my goodness, my goodness. The less said about those guys, the better, man. They are horrendous. Absolutely horrendous.
At least Cedric is only full choice center, right back now. Christ, you know? My
God. Two of those goals were his fault.
Really?
Between and Holding. Jeez, yeah. Initially, I was like, I didn't really care about Holding being full center, full choice this season, but they need to go and get him. Bro, I can't see this guy next season, bro. I can't see him next season, man. He's really bad. Like, you know, like, we're talking about how the style looks so good. Like, he looks like a fish out of water in this thing. You know how it looks like when we played Spurs away at the back end of last season with those two as well. It's just it brought back bad flashbacks. And obviously, last night, as a result, we don't care about it. It doesn't matter, but a couple quick injuries and those two are far too close to the team than we'd hope to, you know.
So Cedric less so, but Holding is certainly someone.
Too close for comfort, man.
Because I'm not even sure who would be the third choice centre back for us. I don't know if he would like go Tomiyasu or
He would go. I think if like one of Gabriel Saliba missed, I think he'd move White in. Then he put
Tomiyasu back.
Yeah. I don't think he would do Holding. Would be a last. Jeez.
I don't know.
Well, hopefully it doesn't get to that, bro, because I'm not trying to see my man. Honestly, he's bad. He can't be an Arsenal player next season.
Well, we've got Wolves next on the weekend. It's a 7:45 kickoff. You know, Wolves. I'm trying to remember how we've done against them of late. Didn't we beat them twice last year?
Beat them 1-0 away, and then we had the last minute winner from Lacazette that beat them at home.
We've had some good performance against Wolves, but I think the season before we lost both, didn't we?
We lost home and away against them. So
Wolves are a team that are really struggling at the moment. Have they appointed Lopetegui yet?
Yeah, he's appointed, but they announced that he won't be taking charge until after the Arsenal game. So hopefully we can get our W in. But I guess you could look at it from some of those guys will be motivated to impress the new manager. And if we're being totally honest, they have a lot more quality. They have so much quality in that squad. I don't even know why they're floating down so low in the table. But we just need that W. We need that W. Go into the World Cup. Go into Christmas top. Be great, man. And obviously Arteta literally rotated 10. He rotated everyone apart from Saliba last night. And then even Saliba, he took off at like the 60th minute. So he pretty much, you know, hopefully everyone's fresh. You know, it was good to see. I mean, he brought on some of them later on, but didn't really matter.
Chicken nugget minutes, is it?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, all right. Well, listen, we'll call it there. We've had to do a short one this morning because we've all got adult shit to do today. Nice. But yeah, hopefully we can secure the last W before the World Cup commences, and we go into. I mean, who have the rest got? So Man City have got Brentford. Expecting Man City to win that, obviously. Spurs have got Leeds at home. Spurs are going for it at the moment. I mean,
I need that. I need Jesse March to load something for me, boy.
Listen, that could be a touchy game for Spurs. I could definitely
you know what I could see? Leeds are the sort of team that will play into Spurs' hands. Leeds, play. They're such a kamikaze team.
It'll be 2-2 for like 70 minutes, and then Spurs run 5-2. Yeah. You already know the pattern of that game. Newcastle have got Chelsea. That's a good game.
Chelsea have had 3 L's in a row. And listen, do you know, like, I'm not actually worried about many teams this season, but Newcastle at St. James's Park, I can see that one being a problem.
It's a tough game, man. You know, on the Sunday as well, Man United are away to Fulham. So I'm not too confident Man United win that one. I mean, I need Mitrovic to
get me something, boy.
Yeah.
I need him to dunk on Lisandro Lannister, boy. I need him to bring me something.
That would be the game where people then start talking about Martinez's flaws and his height again. I mean, a couple Mitrovic headers dunking on Martinez. That's what I need. But yeah, we'll call it a day there. Thanks for joining us again. Remember, if you want the instant match reactions, it's available on our Patreon after every game. We'll do another one for the Wolves game on Saturday. So if you want to sign up in advance or go through the archives of post-match pods, they're all available on our Patreon. So, Sean, I'll leave it there. Have a good weekend, and I'll speak to you again soon.
All right. Easy.
Cheers.
It's got to 2-2, and we've still got more than half an hour to go, and here's Ozil. Lacazette. Ozil!
Go!
Sports Social Podcast Network.